Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. Thanks for joining us here. My name is Saint Rick, coming to you here on this beautiful, gorgeous Sunday of October 9th, the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I know that I am. I'm very grateful and very thankful that I get an opportunity to share once again the name above all names, the person above all persons, and the most offensive name to those who are enemies of him. And that would be Jesus, our Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Today, we are going to get into some things that are very, very controversial. If you are from the world, if you are of the Spirit, you're going to absolutely enjoy and love what's going on. So if you are an enemy and you want to be offended, stay tuned in. If you are not and you want to be loved, stay tuned in. Either way, stay tuned in. You're going to enjoy this. With me, I have my good friend from South Carolina, who is healing every single day, greater and greater than the day before, and that would be St. Albert. How are you, brother?
Brother, I'm doing great. Today, we woke up in the 50s, and I walked to my garage, and the first thing I saw was my motorcycle. And as soon as I take my stitches off, you know where I'm going to be doing, Rick.
Right there, babe, right there. Well, you're right. We are in our 50s, Albert. I'm 51. I don't know how old you are, I think, but we are in our 50s. I know you meant weather. I'm just having fun with it. Even though both of you and I look like we're 39, we are in our 50s. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. We are looking forward to this. This is going to be exciting. We have some things that we're going to share with you about the one and only Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. If we look at what is the name that has been most attacked throughout all of history, it's truly Jesus. It's truly those who follow Jesus Christ. And if you look at it today, it's not even those who are following God or the proverbial used name of God, not the real God, but the proverbial used name. They are offended by Jesus. That's why they're trying to remove so many things out of the Bible, including so far over 300 verses we have found in the New International Version. And of course, you know, anything that is international is of the world. You know, we have two different kingdoms, period. We have the kingdom of God and we have the kingdom of the world. And they couldn't be more in opposition. And God shared with me this morning a couple of things, that it's the battle of the flesh versus the spirit in almost every aspect of everything that we do. And it includes things of the body, things of the power, greed. It's really a fleshly battle. It's to conquer. It's to be like God, if they could, from the Garden of Eden, clear back to when the serpent, the talking snake, decides to tempt Adam and Eve into, they could be like God and know all things and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But as we dive into today's episode, we're going to see that it's like a laser. The world, the people, the economy, the health and wellness, the governments, the grass, the trees, the skies, everything is a laser that emanates through Christ. through Jesus Christ. So the first question is, who is Jesus? Albert, I think you have a couple of verses that deal with that to help our studio audience understand who is this Jesus Christ that offends everybody and they don't want to use his name. And actually, you can't even use it in the military in the United States if you are in the military today. And you could be locked up or court-martialed if you have an open Bible, a Christian Bible, out on your desk. Mm-hmm. And if you preach, you can't use the name of Jesus from the pulpit in the military, for example, of the United States of America. Mm. So who is this person, Jesus, that offends everybody?
Well, you know, Rick, I could go on and quote some of the ones where verses that the Bible calls Jesus, you know, King, and the Bible calls him God, and so forth, and the deity of Christ and all that, and that would be rightful, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, he's not just that. And in fact, all those names that we call them, when it comes down to him accepting it, he does accept it. But it comes out like in second base to him. If you want to know what he really thinks of himself, and he tells the people here on earth, well, he calls himself a friend of sinners in Matthew 10:19. You know, those are the names that really he wants to be called by. He came not to be an accuser like the devil, but to save the world in John 8:11.
So it isn't Matthew 10:19. It's Matthew 11:19. Let's go there. That's not a problem. I just want to make sure we got the correction. It says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. So he came eating and drinking. Does it sound like a man who's under religious conviction of not to eat what he wants and drink what he wants?
No. As we talked about it probably a few months ago, you know, that Jesus Christ did not come to observe laws. He came out of faith at the Father. And not just that he came out of faith in of the Father, you know, that even though we have the Jewish laws of 613 commandments, there was a lot of stuff that were put in there, not in those commandments, but that men added to laws, just like right now, like about drinking and all that. And we have talked about before that God doesn't, you know, we talked about that in the future, people will call things evil that are not evil. God never talked about drinking as being evil. But yet in churches, we call that evil. You know, that's amazing that we put in laws and stuff because drinking is so evil. I mean, we came in this nation putting in laws even that we couldn't drink cider or produce anything out of apples or grow apples because we will produce a strong drink out of that. And yet God doesn't call that evil.
Hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy when, you know, we come up with stuff like this in the churches, you know. Yeah, sure, you shouldn't get drunk. There's a lot of things that we shouldn't do. I mean, because the Bible talks about gluttony, about eating too much. Should we say that food is evil too? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But Jesus Christ, he came as our friend. But yet we never realized what he actually came for. You know, we've always had ideas of God being this evil person. Really, the way that we perceive God as being is really worse than Satan. Because we always think of God being an evil person that has come only to punish. But yet the Bible here talks about him eating and drinking and being with with sinners and loving sinners.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, we have to be careful as to what we say about God and as to what we think about what his character is.
Yeah, because too many times it's taught from the pulpit that you better stop sinning or you're in trouble. And even to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, not that I promote sin by no means, but how can we do something that Jesus paid for? How can we continue to be labeled something that Jesus said we are no longer labeled as because of what he did on the cross, not because of what we are doing? And that is one of the things that's misunderstood by most preachers. And I believe that's why it's not an accident that he left out preachers and pastors and teachers here. He said he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So to me, he's a friend of everybody. Because we're all sinners under the flesh before we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
That's so true, Rick, you know, and this is no, you know, this right here did not catch God by surprise that we weren't perfect in our own, you know. He made us this way. God made us to depend on him for righteousness. He did not make us to depend on ourselves for righteousness. If he had made us to depend on ourselves for righteousness, that would make us self-righteous. And that's not the people that he made. Jesus Christ is not self-righteous either. Jesus Christ is righteous because all three of them are righteous, and Jesus is part of God. And we are righteous because we are in God. That's what makes us righteous.
And if you're listening, you're going to understand by the end of today's show that there are two types of righteousness. There are self-righteousness, and there's the righteousness through Christ. And really, that's the ultimate battle that's going on in the world. So let's take it on further to what he was saying earlier, Albert, to our verse, John 8:11. She said, yeah. No man, Lord. And in other words, it was to the point when they were condemning Mary. This is a point when everybody was ready to throw stones at her and kill her because she was caught sleeping with another man's wife or another wife's husband. And she was sleeping with him in the act. And the law says you have to be stoned to death. Well, then Jesus comes and he kneels down and helps her out and writes into the stone with his finger. It's not regular dirt. It was stone right where he was. Not many people researched that, but it was stone. I don't know about you, but that had to have shaken everybody there because who else wrote in stone except the one on Mount Sinai, right? So there he is writing in the ground at stone with his finger. Who knows what he was writing, but I don't think it was really important. I think it was the fact he was writing in stone with his finger that was important. And then Jesus lifted up himself and saw none, but the woman's, he said unto her, woman, where are those who accuse you? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and believe not anymore. So sin anymore. So anyway, we take that and we know Jesus is a man who loves, who cares, who stands up for those who are being condemned. That's really, think about it. That's him. He stands up for those who are being condemned. And then let's go to Hebrews 2, 11 through 15. It says, for both he that sanctifieth, let me go to the New King James Version. I think it'll be a little easier here. 2:11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified. So he who sanctifies is Christ. Those who are being sanctified are us, are all of one. So if we are one with Christ, what does that mean? for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So not only is he saying we are one with them, but he's not ashamed to say we are one with them. So how do we get to that? We're going to go to John 1, and we're going to look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word here is talking about Christ. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him, not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Christ is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. This is an incredibly important thing to understand Hebrews 2:11-15, because he both sanctifies, and those who are sanctified are all one, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And that comes from Psalms 22:22, that's being repeated by, I believe, Paul, who wrote Hebrews, and comes from Psalms 22. And again, I will put my trust in him. That comes from 2 Samuel 22:3 and Isaiah 8:17. Here am I, the children whom God has given me. That comes from Isaiah 8:18. So Paul is really getting the point across. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. So in other words, Christ came down in the flesh and blood to partake in the same thing as we have partaken in, being flesh and blood, so that he can relate to us, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Not destroy who? He didn't destroy you. He destroyed him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. Why? What's the power that he had of death? What is the power that he had of death?
It's the law, Rick.
It's the law. Exactly, the brother. Because it was the only nuclear weapon he had. Yeah. It was the only weapon in his arsenal that could give you death, because through the law came death. And the power of sin is in the law. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And release those who through fear of death. Who is he releasing?
The world, people.
The world, everybody. So here's a guy that the world is offended by his name, and his only purpose is to come and make us one with him, and to make us one in such a fashion that everybody who through fear of death now, because death is the power given to the devil through a tool called the law that was requested by man, show us what to do. We can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Going, okay, I will give you what you ask, but you do not know what you ask. Here you go. Keep these. Do not miss one. And if you can keep them, you've got all the blessings, everything unimaginable. But if you break one, you break them all, and you are condemned to death. So here comes this little snake dude called the devil, who decides he's going to have this tool and goes, I know how I can kill these people. I know how I can hurt God. I will get them to die because they can't keep these, and I will make them feel so afraid of death because now they're going to be trapped in bondage their whole life, because now they're going to be afraid of death because they know they're not worthy. They cannot keep the law. They cannot do the things necessary. They're in trouble.
And you know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know what's so amazing about this, Rick, and that people don't get, that all the way from the beginning, if you look at paradise and what God said, the way that he built man, that he said that he made man in his own image. You know, it's amazing that the devil caught this, and man up to this moment still hasn't caught this. even in religion circles.
I know.
The devil understood that what God was actually building was a family.
Yes.
That's what the devil understood. And he was set up to destroy God's family. In other words, I'm talking about a family of being all together one. You see? This was the intention of God. Even before he made man, he was in love with man. And not just that he was in love with man, but he wanted to make man just not a creation. He wanted to make man actually part of him and part of his family. And the devil knew this. That's why this jealous character of the devil, who was trying to become God for a long time by his own efforts, got men into eating that.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that God was trying to do the same thing. That's what God was trying to do too. God was trying to create man as part of him, as part of God. Man was going to be God, not of his own, but with God's help. He was going to become God with him. But the devil was trying to push man as to becoming God on his own and have his own righteousness, just like what he was trying to do from the beginning.
Hmm.
Not realizing that God had him and his works, in other words, the devil's work, already calculated in his equation. And that all the way until the end, he was going to use the devil's work to bring man to the stature that he intended all the way from the beginning. And that is to the stature of being one with him, one with God. And this is hard to swallow. I mean, it was hard to swallow even at that time with Jesus Christ and his people. You know, the Bible says it very well that Jesus Christ came to his own, and his own did not recognize him. And not just that. Jesus Christ comes to the people that he left here in the earth to be in charge of his people and to bring his people back into God again and to understanding who God is. That is the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you know, he made all these miracles. He did all these miracles in front of them so they will recognize him. And yet, they never recognized him. You know what Jesus Christ tells them? You know, for which one of these miracles are you trying to kill me? And you know what they tell them? They go, it's not because of any miracle that you did that we're trying to kill you. It's because you make yourself one with God. That's why they were trying to kill him. They didn't recognize that he was one with God. And so it is with man, with the people of Christ. The world does not recognize him, and religion does not recognize it. All of this that we're talking right now is craziness to religion. Craziness.
So are you saying that the religious people out there, if you ask them, are we one with God? They're going to say no.
That's correct, Rick. Hmm. If you go to most religious people out there, even so-called Christians, and you tell them that we're one with God, what they think that's not a literal form that God is talking about. What they think is that is that he was just saying that just to, you know, as a past, you know, tense, you know, that it's not really true. It's not true reality, or because all the way from the beginning, man cannot coincide with what God actually wanted to do, and that is to have man be part of God. They will not accept it. They will never accept it. The Jews did not accept it, and most religions today will not accept it. They will hum about it and all this and talk great things, but at the end, they will not accept this. And some religious are worse than others.
Hmm.
You know?
One of the things you can also ask him is, does he give aid to angels? And you will hear them say, well, of course he does. No, he does not. It says it right here in the Word of God. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. So you are more important than the angels, according to the word of God. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So he can relate. He can say, I know, I understand. That's why I'm going to intervene. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very interesting what Hebrews 2:17 says. He says, so he might be merciful and faithful as a high priest. I'm sure that a lot of people will remember what Jesus Christ talked about the high priest that we had at that time. That he was telling them that, you know, you put so many weights in people's back that you yourself can't even handle. In other words, they weren't even merciful with their people.
Go ahead.
They thought that they were some kind of a beings that were completely different from the people that were there surrounded. In fact, if you see the temple, most of those priests, they had a special area where they walked from their homes to the temple, so they wouldn't even be mixed up with the people around them. You know, we had in this situation, and still we still have them. We have a religious high priest that still run around that think that they're somehow higher than the people, and think that they are deserving somehow more than the people that they serve, not knowing themselves that what they're supposed to be there is to be serving the people around them instead of being served, instead of being, you know, like, again, we have changed in religion circles. All this, we built this big buildings for a king, because that's what those buildings are, you know, those temples and all that. They're made in the image of man. Temples made for gods. Temples that we praise those temples so highly and spent so much money on those temples, you know. But yet the true temple that God wants to be preserved, and the good and the people that God wants to be helped, that is not occurring anywhere, just about in this nation or around the world. They're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble, because when our Lord comes in, just like stories that he told about the vineyard and about the son coming back and the people that he left in charge. You know, I know that has to do with the Jewish people, but it also has to do also abuse. And we have checked it before with his people nowadays that are being run by ruthless people who don't understand the value of what they have inside of those worthless buildings. There's going to be a lot of trouble. There's going to be a lot of trouble.
Well, one thing that I know is, you know, you made a wise statement earlier when you're talking about being one with God and how they will, matter of fact, I think you could get crucified over it, just like Jesus got crucified over it. If you say the things that Jesus did then today, I think the same result and same outcome will occur, because the message offends those who run the world, the principalities, demons, prince of the air, you know, and a lot of people want to blame things on Hillary. A lot of people want to blame things on Trump. A lot of people want to blame things on our government, but you know, that's not our enemy. Our enemy is the principalities and the demons of the world. Those people are nothing more than little puppets. They're being played by the spiritual world and used by the spiritual world to get people caught up in the divisiveness and the division so that God is no longer being focused on, that we're no longer focusing on love. We're no longer focusing on helping each other. And it's easy to get caught up into that goofiness that the world wants you to get caught up into if you don't have Christ focused at the center and you don't see things through the lens of God. And the way you do that is you filter it through His word. You go, what's real? Is what I'm listening to on TV real? Is it my reality? Is it really where I live? If you say yes, then you're in the flesh. You're in the world that doesn't exist. It's not a real world. It's a false world that the devil uses. It's like a distraction that a magician uses or a clown uses just to keep you focused on this while this is really going on. And if you think about it, if you're caught up in the flesh world, what are you mindful of? You're not mindful of godly things. You're mindful of fleshly things. It isn't because it's just you don't see because you are focused on the flesh. The flesh has to be fulfilled. The lusts of the flesh have to be fulfilled. And that comes through the law, whether it's men wanting greed and power and control over others, or whether it's your flesh wanting lustful things from this woman or this man or the money or the greed or whatever the whole thing is, it's not real. That's why I have a peace that goes beyond all understanding. I'm a passionate man, but I have a peace that goes beyond all understanding. Have I done wrong according to the world? Yes, but they're not my judge. I have no judge, but yet I judge all things. Why? Because I am one with God. I am one with God. What makes me one with God? Not me. It's what Jesus did. That's why he offends the world. That's why he offends the enemy. That's why he offends those who are the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's why also Christianity, true Christianity, offends religion and offends the world because of the things that we say. The things that we say offend the world. It's like crazy. You know, Rick, talking about the gospel, we all know what the gospel means. It means the good news, you know. And what we've been talking about here is good news. It really is good news that Jesus Christ came for us, and God came for us, and the Holy Spirit came for us. That's really good news. The death of Jesus Christ is really good news. You know, to understand that the creator of this whole universe came and died on the cross so we could have his life and so we could be part of him, actually be part of him. That when he's sitting up there on the right-hand side of the Father, that we are actually sitting up there in the Father. We are actually sitting up there. Why? Because we are part of Him. That is very good news, Rick. Very good news.
Amen.
But, you know, we got to remember that the death is not the only good news about it. That the death was the path that God used to do all this. It was the path that God used to make us one with Him. It wasn't that He just came here to take away our sins. That was part of it. Yes, He came here to take away our sins, but that was a path. The reason He needed to take away our sins is because God has no sin, and there cannot be no sin in Him. And if we become part of Him, we cannot have sin in us. That was the whole reason. You know, the reason why he let the devil do his skin, what he did in paradise, the reason why he did that is because he was going to utilize us to turn us from creation to actual sons and daughters and be one with him. We were going to have a new birth. He was going to use the devil and the power of the law to give us a new birth. If we want to have what happened in paradise, we want to have a new birth. And that's what we needed. We needed a new birth. That's what God wanted. God did not just want a creation that was made from the dust of the earth. He wanted a creation that was made from his loins, from the loins of Christ, not from the loins of Adam, which came from the dust. We are made from Christ, from God himself. That's why he's capable of calling us brothers and sisters, because we're made now out of the same material. We're made out of the material called God. We're made out of his stuff. And that's what people have to believe. Why do we have to believe? Because we're made to be rulers. And we need to start ruling in this world. We need to start learning how to rule. And that's why we fail. That's why a lot of times we see things wrong. The governments are the way they are. The churches are the way they are. We have sickness among ourselves because we still are in this process that we have to accomplish, and that is to rule. That's why we don't have love with each other. That's why we have concerns of physical things like buildings and statues of money instead of taking care of each other, because we still haven't gotten that we're rulers. And one day God says that we will get it. One day we will get it when we see him face to face and we see who he is. And at that time, we will see us who we are. Because you know how we're going to see God? We're going to see Christ as a ruler, as king, as part of God. And we're going to see ourselves as rulers, as kings, as part of God.
Wow. Well said, brother. Well said. And I think that it's time that we do take hold. We do take our position that's been given us. It's like given someone a position as president of a company, and they decide not to do anything with it. They decide to sit down and not act upon the position which they have been given. And we have been given rule. We are rulers over the angels. We have the ability. Matter of fact, it tells us we are going to judge the world. We are going to judge the world. And I think all things will be judged of the world by one measure. Did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And really, that's it. If you do, then forget what all the goofy stuff the flesh has done. That has nothing to do with your identity. Your identity is by what you believe, not by your inability to stop drinking, your inability to stop doing drugs, your inability to stop running around, your inability. Is it wrong? You can answer that question, for crying out loud. You can answer that question. Is it wrong to run around on your wife? Is it wrong to be a drunkard? Does it show love to your children to be a drunkard? Does it show love to your wife to do drugs? Does it show love to your neighbor to constantly run over his mailbox? Does it show love? Really, it's not difficult. It's an easy thing if you really look at it. It's not complex, you know. So you have no excuse. It's written on your heart. So you're not held accountable because your flesh is weak. You're held accountable because you choose not Christ. That's what you're held accountable for. And so it says right in here very clearly in Genesis, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it's a knowledge of good as well as it is of evil. It's not the evil deeds only. It's the good deeds that you're trying to do through the flesh. See, it's kind of like the motive. people who accept Jesus Christ can do good, which is the fruit of the root of Christ. And then you've got those who, I've got to keep working at it. I'm doing it and working at it. It's not in my heart, but I do it because I know I have to please God. No. That's not how this works. This works that you already please God when you say yes to his son. When you say yes to his son, nothing pleases him more. When you reject his son, you're in some deep trouble. Because that's the only standard we have. That's why they're trying to remove it from the Bible. All the other religions. That's how the one world religion is going to be, is based upon this verse in Genesis 2:17. But if the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What is this tree? It's not this little fruity, gushy stuff that you put in your mouth and you chew on. It is the law. Right and wrong of the law. Matter of fact, if you go back, it's the black horse in Revelation. If you watch one of our earlier episodes, it says it very clearly in the Greek. It's the law. It's a scale of justice. It's the law. What an amazing thing to know that all you got to do is decide not to live by the law, but live by the tree of life, which is Christ in the middle of the garden. Tend that garden. How do we tend that garden? If you can't handle the news and you can't handle what's out there, and it gets you really frustrated and upset, it's okay. Just turn it off. Don't listen to it. Turn on the Word of God. Some can deal with that kind of input and not affect them one way or others, and some not so much. It's okay. Either way is right. It's just you know what you can deal with and what you can't deal with through Christ, because God loves us all the same. We're all different. We all have a different purpose. Albert and I are completely different people, but you want to talk about the belief systems? We're right on target together. But he has a different purpose than I do, and I have a different purpose than he does. But man, together, God put us together because he sends out his disciples and witnesses by twos. And right now, me and Albert have been sent out to share the gospel of the truth with you so you can be set free from the bondage that was mentioned back in Hebrews, I think it was, wasn't it? Or John? Oh, John 8:11. And Jesus said, or neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And then we can be set free from the bondage. He's not a, here it is. He might destroy him. Inasmuch as the children have partake of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through the death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So when was he destroyed, Brother Albert?
He was destroyed completely at the cross. There is no more power in the devil.
But why do Christians give him power and say, oh, the devil made me do it? Wait a minute, time out. Your lack of knowledge doesn't change the fact that the truth still exists, that he destroyed him at the cross. You haven't taken hold of the victory that you have by faith, and that is the victory we have as sons and daughters of God, even more victory than the power that the angels have been bestowed by God himself. We are one with God, not because of us, but because of him.
You know, God said to not be afraid of people who could destroy the flesh, but of people who could destroy the spirit. The devil has no power over the spirit. Over your spirit, the devil has no power at all. And you know, that power that the devil had, it wasn't even his power. The power that he had before, it wasn't even his power. It was the power of the law. The law was the one that had the power, not the devil. That devil utilize the power of God, which was in the law, to kill men.
Well, the devil had the power through the law. That was his only power.
Yeah, but the law was the one that had the power, Rick. It wasn't the devil. He used the power of the law. In other words, like, for instance, if you had an accuser, if you were in a court of law, the only power that the accuser has to accuse anybody in that court of, court is the power of the law.
The power of life and death is in the law.
Yeah.
But he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. So he destroyed the devil because the devil used the law, which had the power of death.
Yeah.
And he would release those who, through fear of death, were all a lifetime subject to bondage. So let me ask you this. Do you feel you're in bondage?
I have no bondage whatsoever.
Not you personally, brother, because I know that. I'm talking to our audience. You as our audience, do you feel you're in bondage? Do you feel you have any bondage whatsoever? Because if you do, that lifetime of bondage is nothing more than a mirage. It's not real because of this verse here.
Yeah. You know, that verse, Hebrews 2:15, you know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it says that he went to the center of the earth to get who? To get the people that were captive. In other words, release the people them. That were, to release them, the people that were in bondage. Why were those people there? They were the sons of God. They were in there. They were there and not in heaven or in paradise, you know, in heaven. Well, the reason why, it was because the law still held them in bondage. But as soon as the law was paid and removed, Christ himself took those people up to heaven because there was no more bondage for those people. And there is no more bondage for us here because that law has been taken away. There is no more bondage for those who are in Christ or anybody really. They're putting themselves in bondage. So, you know, be careful with religion. Be careful with religion because religion works with law. And that is a place where they will put you back into bondage. And Hebrews says it very well, not to go back again to the bondage of the law. So be careful because people out there are being used by the demons of this world to put you back into bondage and to put you back in a performance and a right and a wrong. And that is not some place where you want to go. That is some place where you want. And as we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the religions of the world, all of them have this one thing in common. They all work with the law. They all work with the law. So be careful in what you hear. Because what you hear and what you take in could hurt you. It could hurt you. And it could prevent you from living out Christ in you, which is the freedom. Christ in you is the freedom. And it could prevent you from living that freedom that you're supposed to be in. It could prevent you from being rulers, from exercising your true identity. Be careful. Be careful what you hear out there.
Jumping to 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once. This is really important. He didn't suffer many times. He suffered once for sins. The just, which is him, for the unjust, which is us, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, by whom also he went and preached to spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few that is, eight souls were saved through water. There's also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers, having been, that's past tense, made subject to him. And since we are one with him, they are subject to us. They have no power and authority over us. Zero. They cannot touch our souls. They cannot touch our being. They can destroy the flesh, but the flesh is nothing. The flesh can be destroyed, but you cannot. That's the power that you have. That's eternity. And with that, we are coming to that time once again where we are what? Going to have communion with God himself. We're going to be able to experience him. And how are we going to do that? Through the Lord's Supper is what they call it, right? And that is, he is the bread. He's the bread of life. This represents his body. His body was broken for you. The just for the unjust. You don't have to accept it. Doesn't change the truth. But it is true. He was broken. All you have to do is eat it. Accept it. Consume it. Take it. And if you do, you have life. You may partake. Just as he had his body that was broken, his blood was spilled. This is the blood of the new covenant. This blood of the new covenant is for the remission of sins. If you still think you are sinning daily, you've accepted Christ, you're just in a false bondage. The truth is, you are now free. Take. Praise be to the one and the only and the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you haven't accepted him, now is your opportunity. Repeat after me. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be free from this bondage of sin and become one with God. Father, I thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. I know that without him, I have no chance of eternal life on my own self-righteousness. Therefore, I set aside the clothes of the old man, and I now receive your son into me, into my heart, as my Lord and my Savior. I believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection to life. And I receive that in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. If you said that prayer, you now are a righteous son and daughter of God, and you are one with him. And because of that, you have eternal life and nothing to fear, because now you get to rule, not from the perspective of the flesh, but from the perspective of the Spirit. It is love that rules you through God and through Jesus Christ. Brother Albert, thank you for joining me once again, for being here each and every Sunday. Faithful, you're a good friend, my friend. You're a good servant of the Lord himself. And may your day be blessed abundantly forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. You are blessed.